The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
This is Talkin' Cowboys. Streaming live from the Dallas Cowboys World Headquarters at the Star in Frisco.
Prescott keeps it, and he bangs it into the touchdown.
And now your hosts, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, John Mashoda, and Kyle Yeomans.
Go! Go! Dallas Cowboys!
It is a victory Monday. Don't you talk in front of me on a victory Monday. What are you doing, Nick Harris?
I still haven't figured that one out.
It's a victory Monday here on Talking Cowboys. You got to wait for the beat to drop. You got to wait for all of it to happen and the song starts going.
Yeah.
And by the time the song ends, normally I'll be at the Cowboys beat the Patriots 38-3 on Sunday afternoon. And then you pause while it kind of plays in the distance.
You want to run that back?
It's called hitting the post. No, it's okay.
God, that was a forward slap and a backward slap.
It was?
Yeah.
Sounded like both.
I mean, a 38-3 was a forward and a backwards.
Boom.
It was a Rick James. It was a Rick James slap.
One of the five fingers. Yeah. Set in the face.
What were you wanting to fit in there right at the beginning?
Oh, no, I was just saying I haven't quite figured that out yet. That's why I said it.
The song?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's okay. There's only been three wins so far.
We're
still
time.
Very early.
75%.
75%. And the biggest and most significant loss handed to Bill Belichick in his entire head coaching career. A 35-point beat down at AT&T Stadium. It was really an unbelievable showing from all three phases. And it got back to what the Cowboys did in weeks one and week two. Because then you look at that week three matchup as a potential blip. I don't want to name it as a blip just yet, but now it has the potential to be one after what they did to the Patriots on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. And it was something actually I wrote about last night was Arizona was the exception, not the first 2 weeks, because they came back in week four and they almost immediately replicated what they did in the first 2 weeks. The defense got after it early. Defensive touchdown. Special teams was helping out. How about Chauncey Golston catching a two-point conversion? And then the offense, it was effective getting down the field. And I'm sure we'll still talk about red zone this week, and that'll be a point. But, when the defense is performing like this, it's tough to find anybody in the league that can beat them. And I mean that. I really don't think that anybody in this league can beat them when the defense is playing like they were last night, like they were against the Jets, like they were against the Giants. It's just too much to overcome.
Do you want to talk about Hunter Lipke, too?
Do it now.
You know, since you brought it up.
I knew there was an undershirt. There was an undershirt.
No way.
No way.
Here we go.
One moment here.
Oh, this is happening.
We're having a wardrobe change. Hold on. I almost got this morning.
This is
coming to the stage.
Fullback for life.
Wow. I love this.
There's our man right there.
Whoa.
There's our man.
Made picture. It this morning. Fresh off the rack.
Fresh off the rack. It'll be $80 on nickharris.com later.
I like it. I like it.
But yeah, how about our man getting in the end zone?
I knew you were a Hunter Lipke stan. Yeah. I mean, I'm always going to bring it up, especially when he has his first NFL touchdown. I had no idea that was coming.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You should have known.
That was on the way.
I saw the undershirt. I should have known.
You should have known.
Did you?
He wears an undershirt, though, normally, right?
Yeah, I do, but it's typically black.
But it's inside out.
Yeah, it's inside out. Yeah, it's small, a whole ordeal.
There's small details.
It's an inside out shirt. Yeah, it's an inside out shirt that I made this morning. And it's honestly like I used to work out in this shirt and I found like a sweat stain on it. I was like, you know what? I just need to get rid of this. So this is the last day this shirt is ever being used. And then it's getting sold. So anybody who's a Hunter Lipke stan like
there
myself,
it is.
The auction's open.
Boom.
There you go. Going once.
Should give it to charity or something. That'd be kind of cool. No, like for real. Like if you wanted to auction it off for real and then maybe give the money to charity. Why not?
Yeah, why not?
Cool. But just an idea.
Custom.
An idea. What'd you think about the win? Do you want to talk about Hunter Lipke now?
Absolutely, I do. Yeah, absolutely. I actually talked to him after the game in the locker room. Uh-huh. And
was he hype?
He was so hype. He was so excited. He was like, yeah, I spiked it, gave a little flex, and then I forgot the ball, and Dak had to come up and give me the ball.
I saw that video.
He said he just kind of like blacked out on the sideline. He says he doesn't remember anything after that. He was just excited. And I was like, let's
That's
go.
Really but, cool, man.
I will say with Rico Dowdle potentially missing time, I will figure more out today probably and later into this week. They're going to need somebody to step up in pass protection in the backfield, but also a guy that can be a threat out of the backfield because you don't want a guy back there who's just being used for pass protection, and then everyone knows what's happening pre-snap whenever that guy's on the field. So there might be an opportunity for Hunter Lipke moving forward, not only what we saw last night after Dowdle went down, but just in general. Mm-hmm.
Two things, Kyle, right off the bat. First thing, I want to send some good vibes and prayers up for all those players that have to go in the meeting room with Bill Belichick this morning, because that is going to be horrific.
Yeah.
So definitely they're going to need you guys' prayers. Second of all, just saying, I mean, it's going to be bad. It's going to be real bad.
Especially at 1-3, too.
Yeah, it's not good. Yeah. It's not good. But the worst loss ever.
Worst loss.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to sit very well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just telling you. And second of all, no disrespect, man. Like, I did not believe that Dallas was going to be able to control the trenches. I also didn't think that Tyler Biadasz and Zach Martin were going to play, right? But still, even with those guys playing, I knew it was going to be a tall task against this New England front, and they shut it down. Right? They shut it down. Unfortunately, you know, Judon only got a small dose. I would have liked to see that matchup more, right? Having a solid defensive end really going up against our front to be able to use that as a kind of a marker and as a test. Prayers up to him. Hopefully he has a fast recovery. I know they had a couple of major injuries over there on their side, but I did not believe that Dallas was going to be able to hold it down the way they did on the front. And that was on both sides of the ball. And I was completely proven wrong. And I am glad that I was proven wrong, because these guys, you have to be able to control that aspect of the game. There is no question marks in regards to the personnel outside the interior line of this team, mm-hmm. on both sides of the ball. There's no questions. You know, you have the DBs, you know, you have the receivers, you have the running backs, you have all the skill position players, you have all that. But the question mark has always been, can you move the ball on the ground effectively whenever you want to, and can you go ahead and stop teams from running the ball? That's always the only questions that really ever exist on this team. That's what they are, aside from kicker going into camp. And we always have a kicker coming out of camp, right? But they answer that call. And to your point, 75% of this year, right, in terms of what we've seen, they have executed. They've shown us that they're fully capable of doing that. People can keep looking to the Arizona game all day long. I don't look at those games like that. The reason why is because every team presents a different matchup.
Yeah.
And unless you're facing that team twice a year, I can't call it a game or whatever. Like, I give the other team respect. They beat you that day, right? So Dallas has an opportunity for going forward to beat every team that shows up on their schedule, and that's all they can control. What happened, happened. Now they just have to continue to put out this type of performance every single week, and obviously we'll get into it later on this week. They have a big test coming up.
Mm. Almost every position group and unit rebounded yesterday. Yep. I mean, that's without stating. But especially the trenches on both sides of the ball. I mean, they were dominant. Yeah. It started with Tyler Smith, I think, on the offensive line. Tyler Biadasz had a good game before he got pulled out, I think, late third quarter. Zach Martin as well. I mean, Chuma Edoga even held his own whenever Judon was in for most of the game. So, and then on the defensive side, they were generating push in the run game. It was Hankins. It was Mazi getting in there on probably. I think I had about 15 snaps for him.
Gallimore.
Neville Gallimore had the game of his life.
Wow.
Patrick Walker was sitting next to me in the press box, and it felt like every 5 minutes I was like, "Did you just see Nev? Hey, did you see Nev just do that? Oh my gosh!
Did he have the snap count in his helmet or something like that? Like,
yeah, it was crazy.
Well, I think Mazi Smith had his best day so far. I mean, you could add it up on the list. The interior of that defensive line set the tone just as much as the interior of the offensive line set the tone on the offensive side. So I think it's impressive to see the jump that they did make, because that was one of our questions last week, was how much can you fix in 1 week? How much can you turn around in 1 week? And it turns out you can fix quite a bit in 1 week. The Cowboys are used to this. They're 9-1 since the beginning of the 2021 season following a loss. Mm-hmm. They know how to rebound, and they've done so very well since the start of that season. But I think this might have been the most impressive one because of how down the loss to the Cardinals was because of how much you were dominated on both sides of the football. And then the way you come back against a really good Patriots defense. I don't want to talk about their offense. Their offense has plenty of problems. And we saw that again yesterday. But that defense came in as one of the top units in the NFL. And you made them look like they had just as many problems as the offense did.
I will say, even as the night went on last night and I'm watching that Jets-Chiefs game, I continue to feel better about where this team is at, even coming out of week three against Arizona. The Chiefs and the Bills both struggle with that Jets defense, and the Cowboys did their way with them. And you can look at the Patriots as well, you know, and who the Patriots have played so far this season and what they have put together defensively and what the Cowboys did to them literally from start to finish last night. So, man, I think there's a lot of great things to take away, not a lot of negatives.
Yeah, I want to save the defensive talk for the next segment, but I want to start on the offensive line. You brought up Tyler Smith. Tyler Smith is quickly becoming one of my favorite players, maybe in Cowboys history, because I really love the way that he handles himself. I love the way that he plays the game. You talk about a guy who's willing and open to being a good teammate. You saw that last year with the way that he bounced inside and outside. The way that he plays the game with a ferocity, with an intensity, a physicality. He is uber strong. But also just the way he handles himself off the field, too. And I'm talking in terms of favorite player in Cowboys history. I'm not saying best player. I'm saying one out of the guys that I've watched or interacted with, he's one of those top guys because he did his job all day long. And he did so last week against Arizona, too. I thought that was maybe one of the two bright spots in that Arizona game was what he was able to do just by himself on an island at that guard spot. Then he gets some help back from Tyler Biadasz. He gets a full week of reps with Chuma Edoga, and he helped push that defense backwards. And it was really impressive to watch up front.
I love what Tyler Smith did from start to finish. I mean, there wasn't a ton of pressure generated on Dak throughout the night. I think he was sacked once or twice. But, I mean, the running game was able to be effective enough to get the passing game going. I mean, I think completions to 10 different receivers yesterday. That's just a credit to the protection
carries
front.
Carries to 8 different players, too.
Yeah,
everybody got involved.
Absolutely wild. I think a little bit of that was just, you know, it kind of getting out of hand late. But if you looked at this box score, probably, you know, mid-third quarter, that would still tell the same story. But Tyler Smith, man, it definitely looks like he's made a second-year jump, which we always talk about second-year jump, but I feel like we haven't really talked about it with Tyler Smith since the start of training camp just because of how good his rookie year was. His second-year jump has all-pro potential.
Yes, Isaiah, raising your hand.
Speaking of second-year jumps.
Oh, you were going to take my transition
Freddy. I sure was. Jalen Tolbert.
Okay.
Wow.
Way to throw it at me.
I was on your same page. I was thinking Jake Ferguson.
Yeah. Jalen freaking Tolbert.
How about that?
Listen here. Everybody wants to talk about his offensive contributions, and yes, he has made a substantial stride in that. Right?
4 receptions, 53 yards. It's more than what he had in the entire 2022 season.
And he's been showing up over the past few weeks. Right? Yes, this is not just the first time he showed up this year. Right? They just threw it to him more often this time around. Was he 4 for 4?
Yeah, four for four.
How about the effort and the execution on special teams?
That was the
most impressive thing to me because that is the most undervalued thing from the fans' perspective. Fans can really look over for the majority of the time because they go straight to commercial. Nobody talks about it, right? It's like, all right, man, we'll be right back, right?
But that's when you go get the chips.
Right? You know, you've been holding it, right?
Refill your drink.
Right?
That's what it is.
This dude, I don't understand how difficult it is to make a play from the gunner position, okay? He was going against arguably the best gunner in the history of football. He was playing on the other side of the ball was Matthew Slater, who's arguably the best gunner and special teamer ever in the history of the game, right? 10 Pro Bowls. He's going to be a Hall of Famer, probably one of the first Hall of Famers at the specialist position, okay? On the opposite side, you had Jalen Tolbert going down there, taking on the challenge, whether he was thinking about Matthew Slater or not, I don't care, but he was going down there and showing you exactly what he's capable of from the special teams perspective. He had an impact on this game in a major way, going down there and making a big hit. Okay, just taking off.
Say it with your chest.
I haven't seen that speed out of him. He has kind of that personality. It's kind of like I'm chill. Like I have the capabilities, but I don't always show it.
Yeah.
He took that limiter off. And now it was the best thing in the world for me to see. I'm not sure if everybody else saw it, but he went down there and made one heck of a play and then followed it up with offensive plays. So wherever however he was on the field and was being asked to be utilized, he was producing. And that's all you can ask of anybody on the roster. But even more so from where he came from last year to where he is today, super kudos to him.
Yeah, when he came in and made that tackle on that punt return, I first thought it was C.J. Goodwin just because of how fast he closed and the ability to make that tackle and the physicality in the tackle, too.
Yes.
And then when I looked down, I'm like, oh, that's 18. That's Tolbert? Yep. Yeah, I was surprised.
No hesitation.
It was awesome. It was super awesome to see. But and then in the receiving game, he was just as effective. I mean, getting physical with guys on the boundary. I think he was matched up with Christian Gonzalez once and it had beat him, but Dak had gone the other way. But it was really good to see Tolbert yesterday.
Yeah, it was.
And looking at his snap counts offensively, I mean, Tolbert ended up with 24 offensive snaps, 17 special team snaps. If you're going to play like that on special teams and then contribute and catch all four of your targets and make some moves on offense, you will see more than 24 snaps. And that was 34% of the offensive looks. He's going to see that continue to step up.
That's not bad.
Along the way. Yeah. I want to go to Jake Ferguson, too, because that was the other second-year jump that we're taking a look at. I mean, 7 of 7 for 77 yards. He should have gone.
Hot hand in a dice game.
Yeah, I was about to say, you can't gamble in the NFL, but you could. He might have had some luck if he would have gone to the slots. But 7-7 for 77. When you look at Jake Ferguson, what impresses you the most about what he's taken, what step he's taken going into the second year?
I would say the thing that's impressed me the most is his run blocking, actually. It would not even be in the receiving game. That was something we had talked about, and it's saying a ton, because when we came into the season, when we went into draft season, we were talking about how the Cowboys need a tight end that can assist in run blocking, especially with Ezekiel Elliott being out now, and you don't have that added protection and pass pro as well if you wanted to throw him in that situation. And, man, Jake Ferguson has taken that upon himself, and he's excelled with it, so much so that it's allowed that tight end group kind of just develop at their own pace in that department. But talking about the receiving end, man, yesterday was great. Getting him open in the seams, quick routes. He's that safety net for Dak Prescott across the middle of the field that I think will just consistently we'll consistently see these type of performances from Jake Ferguson, I think.
Yeah, Fergie, I haven't really paid much attention to his running blocking, so I can't speak to that right now, but in terms of his reception, I mean, he's being that consistent guy. I mean, everybody knows Dak loves a good tight end, and he's finding him. He's finding him often. I mean, he came into this game with the most targets in the red zone in the entire NFL. He probably left the game with the most targets in the red zone in the entire NFL. He's just becoming that tried and true, trustworthy tight end that you could really start to depend on. That's why you're seeing his attempts, right, and receptions start to go up.
Yeah, and I think the way that you're looking at this tight end room now is Ferguson, a considerable gap between the guys that are there. Of course, Peyton Hendershot was inactive. He's been dealing with a bit of an injury. Luke Schoonmaker, he's been doing okay, but he had the play. That might have been the best thrown ball of the day from Dak Prescott, and it was a drop in the end zone. Got to catch that one. But for the most part, I think this tight end room, it goes back to what we talked about prior to the season when we were in draft coverage is, okay, you've got something to grow with here. It's still not there yet, and you still don't have it as a dominant week-in, week-out tight end group, but you have the pieces there to utilize, and they've been utilizing them along the way as well. I want to talk red zone later in the week. I don't want to talk about it right now. This is a happy day.
Positive.
This is a happy, happy day. Because of that,
happy joy, joy.
When we come back here on Talking Cowboys, we're going to switch the focus to the defensive side, Daron Bland.
DB.
Enough said. DB, the DB, has a big day. We'll talk about Daron Bland and the Cowboys defense when we come back with more Talking Cowboys after this.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Black Rifle Coffee Company serves premium coffee to people who love America. When you drink Black Rifle Coffee, you are directly supporting veterans, law enforcement, and first responders in your community. Black Rifle's expert roasters love coffee almost as much as Texas loves football, so it makes sense that America's Coffee partnered with America's team. Go online at blackriflecoffee.com and fuel up with the official coffee of the Dallas Cowboys.
That's BlackRifleCoffee.com to fuel up today.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys. And now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at BankofAmerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
This portion of the Talkin' Cowboys podcast is brought to you by Quaker Oats, a super trusted superfood. Quaker Oats, the official oatmeal sponsor of the Dallas Cowboys. We've got Isaiah Stanback, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. We have a special guest for this segment.
Hi.
Hunter Lipke.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. It's Lipke Day. I hope y'all expected that this is what the show is going to be.
No, it's got to be, right?
It might be the rest of the week.
Everybody at home is probably like, wow, Hunter Lipke's on the show? No, it's just a piece of paper sitting in a chair. But it's a great photo of Hunter Lipke spiking his first career NFL touchdown.
I don't know about the hand
Nick,
position.
What was the moment like for you in the press box? I mean, you were in the stadium. You were in the venue. I mean, what would it feel like whenever your guy found pay dirt?
Yeah, you know, I actually heard a whistle pre-snap. Like, I don't know. I may have come from, like, the stands or something. Mm-hmm. So I didn't even really take it seriously whenever it happened. And Patrick Walker was next to me, and then Nick Eatman was a couple seats down. And they're all looking at me like, that's your guy. That's your guy. And I'm like, oh, this counts? This counts? Let's go. So I didn't even really get to take it in as soon as it happened. But, it was super cool to see that.
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, but it's fine. He'll have many more. So.
Oh, good. Oh, thank goodness. Oh.
You have to do a cartwheel on the next one.
We'll see.
Ooh,
we'll
can see. You do a cartwheel?
I was about to say, I first need to practice a cartwheel.
Dislocates his shoulders.
I'll dislocate a lot of things.
One try. All right, let's talk about this defense. Deron Bland and company, three total takeaways, two of which go for touchdowns. The Cowboys right now, three defensive touchdowns on the season. They also have the most in the NFL since DC Dan Quinn arrived in 2021. That's 12 defensive touchdowns. I want to see that compared to some of the teams in the NFL. Like, I know 12 is not even close to comparable to offenses since the start of the 2021 season, but I feel like that's a crazy number to even talk about over three seasons, alone what he's done. You think so? 12? I mean, offenses.
Yeah, I'm sure there's
school.
More than at least one offense in the NFL.
You think so?
No,
since the beginning of 2021,
No. Okay. Yeah.
If it was 12 this year would be great.
That's what my mind's at.
Mind. Or maybe even the three this year is probably comparable.
I would like to see it compared to what this defense did just like in the 2010s, because it felt like they would go a whole year without a defensive touchdown, and it would happen, and it would be like blue moon. But 12 in 3 years, I would like to see that compared with last decade.
Maybe that's our research project.
Maybe it is.
Maybe that's what we look into today. All right, but Deron Bland, two picks. He was a talking point in the wrong way, the poor way, coming out of that Cardinals matchup. Dan Quinn said he had a nice matchup, but you go back and look at the film. Arizona targeted Deron Bland, and they took advantage of really the short amount of time that he was able to practice on the boundary. He rebounded in a big way.
Yeah, a huge way. He was a spotlight whenever Trayvon Diggs went down, and everybody was comfortable in moving him out if he talked to anybody in the building. And you see why after yesterday. Him just being able to not only lock down guys, but his ball skills, being able to track down that kind of stuff. I mean, goodness. The one play, the pick six, Mac Jones had tried him earlier.
Yep.
He had gone across his body to the opposite, not even opposite hatch, just opposite sideline. And Bland just kind of like, he kind of missed breaking on it. And he said it post game. He was like, he wasn't going to get away with it again. And so he came and he broke on it. And once he picked it off, he was gone. I mean, there was, he could have gone 200 yards. That was going to be a pick six. And then he had a really great pass deflection, too. I believe that was late in the first half where he just closed super fast. And his closing speed is the best on this team right now. I think with Trayvon Diggs on the field, they're 1A, 1B. But, man, Deron Bland is holding his own. And he has the most interceptions in the NFL since the beginning of 2022.
That's crazy.
And when everybody is healthy, you easily put him cornerback three. It's just, it's wild to think.
He may even be corner two if you think about it. Not on the boundary. He would go back inside because that's where he's comfortable. But, I mean, he's the one that's making the majority of the plays. And he has been since he entered the league. So I think you could have that conversation that he's the second best corner on this team. Nothing against Stephon Gilmore. That's just how good Deron Bland has been to this point. What'd you think about DB and the defense yesterday?
DB's a really good DB. He really is. I mean, ever since he's touched foot on the ground, since he came in last year, he's done nothing but make plays. He's been nothing but be a consistent resource for these guys. You go back to when the line of duty called upon him last year, and he answered the call. You know, obviously, J. Lou went out last year, right? So he steps in, makes plays. That's how you find out. That was his introduction to the league, was getting interceptions. So we spoke highly about him last year because he answered a call. Now, all of a sudden, this year, he was already a starter, but now he answers a call of Trayvon Diggs going down. Your best cornerback on this team goes down, and he steps up, goes from the inside. All right, we need you to go outside, much like a Tyler Smith last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Answer the call. You got that rookie class really stepping up in a major way. Now he goes out there and makes plays at the outside cornerback position. And it was just awesome. It was really cool to be able to have that depth on your team that you can really depend on, not only to execute their assignments, but to be playmakers.
Mm. It's crazy because we've talked so much about the front seven and the pressure that's put on Mac Jones. And there was certainly pressure there yesterday. Maybe not as many sacks. You had the strip sack from Dante Fowler Jr. leading to Leighton Vander Esch and his first NFL touchdown. He told us on the postgame show yesterday that it was the first touchdown he scored since he was playing quarterback in high school. He wasn't even playing in 11-man football in high school. I mean, so this is the first time in 11-man organized football that he has scored a touchdown. But the second sack came later. It was just kind of a no big deal toward the end of it. But it was the secondary that I thought did the best job. Going back and watching the film, I thought Stephon Gilmore was solid. Of course, we saw what Deron Bland was doing. And there were times where Deron was beat off the line of scrimmage, but then he would make a play late. Or he would make the right, take the right angle, make the right read. He would read the quarterback, the ball skills you talked about, getting there and making a play. But then I really liked the interior of that defensive line, too. And we talked about that a little bit already, but it allowed everyone else to play free off the second level, and it allowed for guys like Leighton Vander Esch and Damone Clark to have probably one of their best games of the year, too.
Yeah, I was just about to say, Leighton Vander Esch easily had his best game of the season so far yesterday. He was flying downhill in the run game. He was playing really well in coverage getting back into the secondary. That second level was awesome, and that's something we really talked about last week. It was not only the interior defensive line, but the second level really needs to step up if this defense wants to maximize its potential. They answered that call, and they did that. Even when in a game where Micah Parsons was mostly kept quiet, I think the Patriots did a really good job of keeping him limited. Also, he was off the field for a little bit in the first half with what Aaron Andrews called a tweaked knee on the sideline. But even aside from that, whenever he did return to the field and before that, they did a good job of limiting him and limiting the edges in general. DeMarcus Lawrence, same way. And so there was that interior defensive line, that second level, like, hey guys, we need you to generate that pressure now, and they did that.
How big is it to have the defense step up the way that they did, and specifically the guys that struggled against Arizona, interior defensive line, linebackers, to have them step up and show that, hey, that was possibly a fluke?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, you talk about the defensive line starts everything defensively for any team. I don't care who you are, right? Otherwise, just give up the cookies every single play. But by the D-line performing well, by them getting off the snap count, like Gallimore was I don't know what he was doing. He was playing out of this world, getting off the snap count. But defensive line gets penetration and allows these second-level guys, Vander Esch and Damone Clark, to be your leading tacklers. And that's what you want. You don't want your defensive backs, being your leading tacklers on a team for a game. So you have Vander Esch, I think, who has 7 combined tackles. Damone Clark has 6 combined tackles. That's what you want to see on your stat sheet, because that means the teams are trying to run the ball and they were ineffective because these linebackers were free to flow. When you try to get to the sideline, these guys are going out there. You know, cornerbacks are consuming the receivers, and the linebackers are able to free flow because the linemen aren't working up to your second level. So when you have that, when you have that impact on your defensive line, the benefactors are always going to be your linebackers, and that is very important for this team, and it's going to be very important for this team coming this week.
And one question I've been dying to ask you since I started watching the film back this morning. There were a lot of times I found myself looking at the certain plays that had Mac Jones rolling out or pressured or whatever ended up happening, and the mistakes happened from Mac Jones. I kept asking myself, was this a product of the Dallas defensive scheme, or was this a product of Mac Jones having just an awful game? Because he was not good.
No,
and Patriots fans will say the same thing. Bill Belichick will say the same thing. I'm sure Mac Jones would
he
say the same thing.
He won't be playing next week, yeah.
Yeah, he was not good. But was that a byproduct of how good Dallas was defensively, or maybe just a mixture of both?
I mean, I don't think you can just look at this game. I think you have to do exactly what Nick was saying and go back and look at the sample size from the previous three games and say, okay, well, you know, Mac Jones, yeah, even though he was terrible last night, this is what we've been doing to everybody. So when you look at it from that perspective, you have to give credit to the scheme and the personnel, and you have to weigh less on the fact that the quarterback was just an awful quarterback.
I think it's a little bit of both, for
yeah,
sure.
You
don't make that throw to Deron Bland on the pick six and say that it was the defensive scheme that just overwhelmed.
Good play
Mac
by
Jones.
Bland.
Great play by Bland, not taking anything away from him or
this
defense.
But a bad decision.
But I wouldn't have made that throw, I feel like. I've never been in the heat of the moment, but I don't feel like I would have. Anyway, the defensive scheme, I think, from the very beginning, though, really overwhelmed Mac Jones as well. So it's a credit to both. If I had to like put it at percentages, I'd put it like 65-35.
Okay. And another reason why I asked the question. Question is, you've done it against Daniel Jones, you've done it against Zach Wilson, you've now done it versus Mac Jones. Can you do it against Brock Purdy? That's my upcoming question.
We're gonna find out. I mean, obviously we'll get more into the 49ers this week. They have far more weapons, far greater offensive scheme. So this is going to be a chess match, obviously, in the offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator booths.
How about this? Did it build your confidence level in this defense going into Mac Jones? It doesn't change anything.
It doesn't change anything for me. I mean, I think I don't want to take anything away from our defense. Our defense is absolutely balling out, and I don't care who's at quarterback for the opposing team. It's hard to do what this defense is doing. Mm-hmm. These numbers are absolutely insane. The pressure's insane. You know,
touchdowns.
Across the board, how many guys are making plays. But those quarterbacks are not good quarterbacks. Let's just keep it 100. Daniel Jones, you know, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones. Those guys are it's probably at the bottom of the league when you talk about quarterbacks. But you don't control who shows up on your schedule. They show up on your schedule. You take care of them. Their performance is their performance. You just take advantage of it when you can. So, obviously, it's going to be a step up. I think Purdy's is a relatively good quarterback. I don't put him as a world beater. I just think that the scheme and what they do offensively is absolutely amazing over there in San Fran. So everybody's going to be challenged. Dan Quinn's going to be challenged. Their film study is going to be challenged, right? Their discipline is going to be challenged. Everything's going to be heightened. I mean, you're about to play one of the better teams in the league. That has been one of the better teams in the league for a long time. So you have to step it up, continue to make the plays that you've been making, but you're going to have to – everything else gets fine-tuned, right? The windows are going to be dwindled down. You know, you're not going to have quarterbacks throwing the ball late and across the field, right? You're going to have to be right on top of everything. So not that you still can make your plays, but the room for error is going to be a lot less.
I'm most definitely more confident after yesterday, just because I was worried at coming out of week three. I was like, what's going to be the exception here, the first 2 weeks or week three? And it ended up being week three, reestablished that confidence. And watching what Christian McCaffrey did in the first half yesterday, I was really concerned just about the run game in general.
Yeah.
But my bubble guts have been calmed just a little bit. I think I'm going to need to see it before I'll be completely like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, I need to see San Francisco go out there for four or five drives and see what that run defense does. But talking about Brock Purdy specifically, I think it's less about going against Brock Purdy this week and just more so against going against all 11 on that offense with their skill guys, with their offensive line, having to generate pressure with the guys that they have up front, and then the secondary having to step up with the weapons that they have. That's going to be way more important than what Brock Purdy does. You know, I really like what Brock Purdy has done early in his career, but he's a system guy.
Yep.
If you can defeat the system, you beat him.
Yep.
Yeah. There's ways to win this game going up this week. And, of course, we'll talk about it mostly Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, taking calls tomorrow. But when we come back here on Talking Cowboys, I have one more question for Isaiah, and then we're going to get to the smelly stickers. We're going to give away our players of the game. We're going to put it on the helmet, and we are going to give some smelly stickers away after the Cowboys beat down the Patriots. 38-3, the final in Week 4. We'll be right back with more Talking Cowboys right after this.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Are you ready to take coffee off your grocery list forever? Black Rifle Coffee Club is here to help. As a coffee club member, you'll get your favorite coffees roasted, packaged, and shipped to your door free of charge on your preferred schedule. Set it, forget it, and never run low on coffee again. Members also get exclusive deals on coffee, products, and discounts from partner brands. Ease your mind and let Black Rifle worry about your coffee supply. Go to BlackRifleCoffee.com to join the coffee club today.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at GetJackBlack.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP. That's GetJackBlack.com. Black.com/Cowboys with the code CowboysVIP.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Back to Talkin' Cowboys.
Back here on Talkin' Cowboys, this segment is brought to you by Invisalign, the official smile of the Dallas Cowboys, and also brought to you by the Dallas Cowboys Fan of the Year, presented by Captain Morgan. Isaiah Stanback, Nick Harris, Chris Beam in the back. I'm Kyle Yeomans. Before we get to smelly stickers, I want to ask Isaiah a question. Every day this week, leading into this matchup, because I'm just curious on how it is from a mental standpoint for players going from a win like that where you're dominant, you control in all three phases, 38-3, just take down Bill Belichick and the Patriots. You execute so well in Week 4, but then you immediately look ahead, and you're looking straight at San Francisco. And this is not a game that will be overlooked. This is a game that's been circled for quite some time. On Monday, what is going through the player's mind today? Whenever we're having this recording, whenever we're going through this, they're not going to hit the practice field today. They have the off day tomorrow. What is Monday like in a week like this when there's such a big game on the horizon?
Get yourself feeling as good as you can. Like, literally, get your body feeling as healthy as possible ASAP. Because you know it's going to be a freaking bloodbath. You know that you're going to get beat the crap physically in terms of just a battling. And then you hurry up and get your film done. You get your film study out the way. You hurry up and get this game behind you. And you try to finish that off the first half of the day. You get your workout in. You do your treatment. You get your body, you know, swim, whatever else you got to do to start feeling right. And then you start literally locking in on your next opponent because, you know, there's a lot to study. There's a ton to study. You start looking for any cues that you can that's going to give you some form of an advantage. And you want to have as much film work done as possible prior to having your Wednesday morning meeting, special teams, coaches, you know, personnel meetings. You want to have as much done as possible, because once that scheme is presented to you, the game plan for the week, you want to already be ahead of the curve. And most of the time, you go in there and you start trying to figure out, hey, what can I get from you right now before Wednesday so I can get a head start?
So when you were talking about film, you're looking back at Arizona, yeah, or not at Arizona.
Yeah, you want to hurry up and look at the New England game. Yep. I mean, you beat the crap out of them, right? So you go and you figure out, hey, let me get my – if I can get my grades early, let me get my grades early. You know, hurry up and review that, because coaches honestly don't want to spend a lot of time on that. Typically, that's what your Mondays are for. You come in, get your film stuff done, and you get your reviews, and you go over to – we watch the film, and then Tuesday's your quote-unquote day off.
Would there ever be a game where you completely throw the film out in a win like that, 38-3, where you say, listen, you don't go look at that?
You don't throw it out, but you don't spend as much time on it.
Okay,
so especially when you have an opponent like the San Fran popping up, I don't want your focus on what you just did. You executed that. We knocked that out the park. There's some things we need to tighten up. Okay, here's a couple clips of what we need to shore up going into this coming week. This is what we put on film, right? We expose ourselves in this regard. Let's go ahead and highlight this so that we don't have that same exposure going into this week. And then let's get done with it. Okay, listen, we got a whole lot to talk about this week, right? This is what we have to worry about. These are the personnel issues that are present. These are the schemes that are present. This is what they like to do. This is our game. The last time we played them, right, the last few times we played them, this is what the commonalities that they keep presenting. These, you start looking at all the analytics, right? They do a great job of breaking down the analytics versus this part of the field. They like to run this. They like this personnel, this percentage at a time. I mean, it's a lot. It's a lot that goes into it, but you start diving into it, because literally when you are prepared for a matchup, you're in the huddle, and when you're super heightened, everybody's talking the same language. We get in the huddle, it's like, okay, it's 3rd and 6. Okay, you remember 37% of the time they're doing this, right? Or whenever we come out of 11 personnel, they're doing this, right? Keep an eye out for this. And you get to the line of scrimmage, you look at what they're doing, you look at your teammates, you're like, okay, yeah, got it, boom. All right, we're on the same page, because we've already reviewed this so much. We've looked at the analytics. We've looked at the film. We know their tendencies. And you know that you're going to get kind of a curveball here and there just in the beginning of the game. But by the second quarter, we're all settling in. This is the time of the year now where you're settling into who you are. That's what you are.
And that's kind of what Mike McCarthy's always talked about. The first month of the season is a lot of feeling.
Yep.
It's a lot of ebbs and a lot of flows of who you are identity-wise, yep, as a team. He's talked about that not only in the past, but especially this year being the case with some of these injuries up front, and you're still trying to feel it out. I mean, San Francisco is one of two teams that are undefeated right now, and the two teams that are undefeated right now are the teams that you're trying to catch, mm-hmm, and that's San Francisco and Philadelphia. Those are the only two teams in the NFL that have a 4-0 record. Everyone else has a loss. So do the Cowboys. But with that being said, I mean, you have a chance not only to find that ebb and flow and settle that down this week, but you have a chance for that benchmark of, say, here's how we stand up to the teams we're trying to catch.
Yeah, but I mean, I think for the most part, for the guys who have been here and the guys who have faced the 49ers in, mm-hmm, the past, you just payback. It's absolutely is revenge. It's absolutely.
So there's payback. No way to suppress that.
No. You want to hit them in the mouth. And that's why I said you want to get as healthy as you can, as fast as you can. Micah Parsons limping around a little bit yesterday. He should be in treatment all day long. Zach Martin, get him in treatment all day long. Tyler Biadasz, go sit in the doggone cold tub, get that hamstring ready to rock and roll. Tyron, figure it out. Right? I don't care if you need to go get in a hyperbaric chamber, do whatever you need. Tyron, go find a hyperbaric chamber. Okay, drink water, eat, all that stuff, get healthy. The boys need you this week. All right, Chumadogi, you've been doing a good job, but this is going to be a grown man's game up there in the trenches, right? So you need all your dogs. So do what you can to prepare yourself and get locked in. This is going to be a heck of a matchup. Can't wait.
Yeah, speaking of, Dak Prescott in his press conference after the game yesterday, the very last question he was asked was, what was the feeling, walking out of San Francisco last year with that loss in January? And he just kind of paused for a second and looked at the reporter, and he was like, it's obvious. You just want to piss me off going into this week, and I appreciate that. I do, actually. I do. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So he's locked in.
Yeah,
he's
absolutely.
And then he walked away from the podium. That was it for him. I don't even know if that was supposed to be the last question, but he walked away after that. Mm. And that was it. A lot of players were asked yesterday, when does the focus shift to San Francisco? The only person that didn't say immediately was Deron Bland, because he was like, I want to celebrate this. I'm not looking at San Francisco until Tuesday. But everyone else is like, yeah, you know, it starts now. The week is here. It's not too early because it's now. So Micah Parsons especially, he's really amped up for this one. Yep. It's gonna be fun, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun.
Sunday Night Football. This is the one that you've had circled for quite some time. As soon as that schedule came out, this was the first one you said, "Yep."
This was the first game that came out on the schedule, right? Like the day before. Was. Yeah. Like it was a promo game that they had done before the schedule release. So.
Yeah, I turned on my TV last night just to go back and watch the game. I usually watch the game broadcast back when I get home, and I turned it on last night, and the first thing that popped up on my TV, it was a promo of Cowboys 49ers Sunday Night Football. Yeah. I was like, man.
Yes, sir.
We're hopping on this quick.
Coach McCarthy has his work cut out for him this week in terms of managing emotions.
Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that a little bit. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. I like that as a conversation. We do have to get the smelly stickers. Nick, we'll let you start things off. You were in the stadium at AT&T. Who stood
yes,
out
sir.
To you?
I figure a certain defensive player will probably get mentioned here by somebody. So I'm going to take an offensive player, right? And I was looking at this pineapple during the break, and it's a pineapple that looks like it's sitting on a stack of books. Mm. And what do books do?
They teach.
They teach. They make you smart.
Mm.
And I think somebody who had a very smart day yesterday and played very efficiently was Mr. 28 for 34, Dak Prescott.
Ooh.
Took mine, you sandbagging.
What? You what? I like that. You want to go next?
Well, since he took young Dak,
mm-hmm.
I know where you're going on the defense side of the ball.
Mm.
I need to look at some fruit here, buddy.
Okay. Yeah, find some fruit. There's some peaches. That's just like grape scented stuff.
I got it.
Strawberries.
Smells amazing over here.
I got it. Boom. See that Beamer?
Mm.
See that right there? It is a very happy, what is that, a peach?
Yeah, it's a peach.
Yeah, very happy peach. Got has the love in its eyes.
Mm.
Okay? This right here goes to Mr. Jake Ferguson.
Ooh.
Mr. Jake Ferguson, 7-for-7 for 77. Hot hand in a dice game, baby.
Yep.
Leading the NFL in red zone receptions. He is the man. He is becoming Dak's tried and true trustworthy guy. And he is becoming a very dependable resource in the run game and obviously in the pass game for this team. They need a tight end to be tried and true. They have one. Shout out to old Fergie.
So the hearts and the eyes of the peach there. Is
oh, that's,
that
how, he, that's
is
how he looks Dak? At Dak. That's how he looks at Dak. Absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. So that's Jake Ferguson looking at Dak Prescott. There you go. There's the sticker right there on our Cowboys helmet full of smelly stickers. Of course, we'll get John's tomorrow, but you can also send in your smelly sticker picks by texting the text line. I don't have the text line number in front of me, but if you have the text line number, send in your smelly sticker vote. I'm going to give mine with these grapes. You see these grapes right here? What do you do with grapes? You pick them, right?
That was incredible
audio.
You don't get it.
It's like Isaiah Stanback ASMR.
No?
It was. It really was. You pick grapes.
Oh.
You know who had a couple picks last night?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Tough acting.
Yeah, bang.
Deron Bland.
Bang.
You got to give it to him. He was by far the player of the game, and I think all three of us could have given our smelly sticker to Deron Bland, and it still probably wouldn't have been enough because not only is he stepping into a massive, massive role change going from the inside to the outside and playing on the boundary, but he has stepped in and made plays significantly. Two pick sixes already this year, three interceptions, eight since he entered the league as a fifth round pick out of Fresno State. Speaking of picks, I mean, talk about the value pick of the 2022 draft.
Yeah.
It might be Deron Bland all the way across the board. So credit to the front office. Credit to him stepping up and continuing to do big things on that defense. But that's going to do it for us here on Talking Cowboys. Happy Victory Monday, Cowboys Nation. Enjoy this one for a little bit, but we're about to turn the attention to the biggest game of the year to this point. The Cowboys and the 49ers coming up this week on Sunday Night Football. We'll break it down for you as the week goes along. We'll have a Talking Tuesday tomorrow, 888-855-2297. Give us a call. We're going to be taking your phone calls throughout the show, and we're going to try and fit in as many phone calls as we possibly can.
Get on there early.
Get on there early. You can give us a call right now for Cowboy Storyline. Starts at 10 a.m. with Nick Eatman, 888-855-2297 as well. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Standback. Oh, man.
Oh,
goodness. I'm going to do that again. For Chris Beam, Isaiah Standback, Nick Harris, I'm Kyle Yeoman saying so long on a Victory Monday. The Cowboys beat the Patriots 38-3. We'll see you tomorrow with more Talking Cowboys.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!